About 25 years ago, close to this date, it was kind of a day like it is today, a little bit snowy or cold, and Janine and I were in college together, and I was madly in love with her, but she didn't know how much yet. And that's right, that was absolutely my thought. And she lived in this big house with four other young ladies from the church. And so there was always something going on there. All the other guys in our church group, in the college church group there, we knew that Janine and her roommates always had food. So there were always several guys there too, you know. And matter of fact, her and her roommates got used to cooking for about 12 people every time they would cook a meal. And Sunday afternoon like this, the weather was supposed to get really bad. And so I drove Janine home and one of the other girls and was going to spend the afternoon there driving back to church and then back home again afterwards. And it's Sunday afternoon and I'm watching football and Janine says, "I'm going to take a nap. Will you wake me up? Make sure I have about 30 minutes before we go to services this evening." And I said, "Sure, no problem." And so she headed off to lay down and take a nap and I'm watching football. And it came time to wake her up. And I walked in the bedroom and I was like, you know, because I'd never really woken her up before, right? This is the first time, you know, and I'm thinking, how do I do this? How do I go about this, you know? So I'm like, Janine, you know, I don't want to be, you know, I'm like, Janine, get up, you know, I'm trying to be, I'm in love with this woman. She doesn't even know it yet, right? So Janine. So finally I lean down and I say, "Janine, it's time for you to wake up." And she blinked her eyes a few times, and I remember thinking, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I couldn't help it. I hadn't planned to do it. You know, I'm a big planner when it comes to things like that. I'm a romantic guy, and I plan things out and stuff. And I remember looking at her, and I couldn't help it. It just blurted out. I said, "Janine Woolbright, will you marry me?" And I remember thinking, wow, did I really just say that out loud? I didn't say that out loud. And even greater than that, the biggest surprise of the entire situation was her reply. And you know what she said? "Really?" And I remember thinking, do I say yes? Because well, then what if she's not ready? I don't think she's ready. And if she, you know, and I'm going through this in my mind. And if I say no, how long do I got to wait then to ask her all over again, you know? And I'm just staring at her, and I'm sure, I don't know what she was thinking exactly. And then she gets this big smile on her face, and she looks at me and says, "It will be my pleasure to serve God by serving you for the rest of my life." And I thought, score! I made the right decision. Surprise, surprise, right? Surprises. We get surprised so many times in life in so many different ways, you know. We're not always looking for what happens around us. If we could just look into a crystal ball and see the future, right? I would have done that a little different, but it came out perfect anyway, right? To be able to know all the things that are going, there are people out there who are paying money to shysters to figure out what's going on in the future, right? Most of you probably know, are you a Scorpio or Pisces or, right, you know? How many of y'all know what your sign is to your birthday? Just know, you don't have to believe in it, you just know, right? Well, yeah, why do we know? Because people long to know what's going to happen in the future, and we just don't, do we? You know? Hours and hours, millions of dollars are spent every year on television shows, people trying to predict the stock market and what's going to happen tomorrow and those things that are going to occur, right? If we were always prepared, though, for the future because we knew what was going to happen, then what role would God play in our lives? Here's something. How many of you had a magic eight ball when you were young? Yeah, isn't that cool? Remember shaking that up? I remember me and my friends, and one of them got a magic eight ball at his elementary birthday. You know, and next thing you know, there's three or four of us guys off in the corner, and they're shaking up. Does she like him? You know? Pretty neat deal. Signs point to yes. You know, then you can ask it the same question again. Are you sure it likes him? And it's going to say, no, no way. You know, whatever the no was, right? No. The 119th Psalm, verse 5, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God doesn't give us the future. We don't know what the future holds. It's like now, as I look out the window behind you, you know, and the snow, how much more is coming? We know what the news says, but how many times do we know the news is correct, right? We know not to trust Oklahoma weathermen, right? We know that. It just, they're wrong about 80% of the time. But he helps us know about his love and grace and the things that he wants to do for us, right? One thing that I can count on is, I know from being in his word, God loves surprises. Have you ever thought about that? God loves surprises. As we look at the stories from beginning in Genesis all the way through Revelation, right? Abraham and Sarah. You're still going to have that baby. Sarah laughs, doesn't she? Yeah, right, Lord. Surprise, surprise! Sarah's what? What about Noah and the flood? Noah, I'm going to cover the entire earth with water, and you got to build a boat. I got to build a what? Surprise, surprise, when the rain starts pouring down and the water starts rising. What about when Moses' mother put him in the river? All she was hoping for was that her child would survive. But not only does he survive, she winds up raising him, taking care of him, and here comes the big surprise. Surprise, surprise, I'm not only going to save him, I'm going to let you get paid for taking care of your own child. Isn't that incredible? What about taking some simple fishermen and making them world changers? And a tax collector. What about allowing one of them to step out of a boat and walk across the water? What about calling to a small man in a tree, Zacchaeus, I'm going to have lunch with you today. Or stopping a funeral procession so that Jesus can reach in and touch a son and give him back to his mother. Or to use the foolishness in the eyes of those who are being lost of the cross to save our lives through Christ's sacrifice on it. Surprise. When they go to the grave and they don't find Jesus' body there. One thing that I can tell you about this life very simply is your life will be full of surprises. Some of them fantastic and incredible. When one of my boys was born, and I won't tell you which, but one of them was born, I was telling the class this morning, he looked like a conehead. You know, his head was so pointed, I kept making sure that stocking cap was on his head. I didn't want people to see that pointed head. You know, they think, oh, he's so cute. And I'm thinking, no, he's not. He will be because he'll look like me, but he's not, right? One of them was born with legs. You know, my wife is 5'2", I am 6'2". And one of our boys was born 24 inches long. 24 inches. Where did those legs go? I don't know, but when they came out, they looked like this. Surprise, surprise. One of his grandmothers kept stroking them, thinking, they're going to straighten out, they're going to straighten out. They did eventually, not that quick, but they did. Thank goodness, right? 24, surprise. Surprise. You have a health issue to deal with that you have never dealt with before. Surprise. You've lost your job. Surprise. The next one you found pays more. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Even though we don't know what surprises that our lives hold for the future, we know that we are in God's hands. Right? Hebrews chapter 4, I want to turn over there and read a few verses, and then I'm going to get you home in the snow. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in, let's see, surprise, I'm behind on my notes here. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual, not almost, right, with some. Sometimes I think we feel like, well, God's given me some spiritual blessings, and that's not what he says. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we walk away from them because, you know what, sometimes in our own ignorance, we go, oh, surprise, I'm going to ignore that one. Oh, surprise, I don't really realize that one. Oh, surprise, God, I'm too busy to take care of that right now. Oh, surprise, I've got something else to do. But if we take the time to allow God to be a part of our lives with every breath that we take, every spiritual blessing will be a part of our lives. We're not promised a bed of roses, are we? Our bed of roses probably looks more like this in our mind sometimes, doesn't it? Ooh, I don't want to lay down on that. There are tough times in life. That's just life. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. But God has for us every spiritual blessing waiting. I'm going to back up above that to verse 14, actually. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, talking about our Savior Jesus from the verses above, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, talking about Jesus still, right? But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So that we might find mercy, that we might be given mercy and find grace. And I used to wonder as a kid sometimes, how in the world did our Savior, how was He tempted with everything that I'm tempted with? He wasn't married. He didn't have children. He doesn't know what it's like to walk into a son's room in the morning and go, son, it's time to get up, and hear him go, turn the light off, right? If I haven't rested well, what's my first desire to do? Boy, you realize it's your father talking to you? I always wanted to make some of those statements like my dad made, you know? You know, I grew up with five brothers, and I had a younger brother. He and I shared a room almost all of our lives. And I remember that, boys, don't make me come in there. You know what's going to happen if I come in there. You know, we'd be laughing. And if I have to tell you, woman, you know, I always wanted to do that. Boys, I remember the first time I ever did that. I come down the hall and stood outside the door and laughed afterwards, right? But the reality is, whether it's pride or and arrogance or whether our own personal desires because of our physical, Christ understands the driving desires behind all of our temptations. And He's there so that we can be given mercy and find grace. He's experienced that for us. so that whatever life's surprises are, just like this morning, you know, I decided at the last minute I changed. I have the most beautiful lesson waiting to be preached with a great video and things like that. But I thought, what if I start doing that and it's snowing? Everybody wants now. They're not going to pay attention to me this morning. So I chose to do this lesson a little bit shorter. You'll get the good one later on, right? Surprise. Whether good or bad in life, God is always with us to give to us the things that we need and fill our lives with every spiritual blessing. The question is, will we choose to accept what He has for us? Allow Him to be a lamp and a light to our way. If we can help you this morning to set your life right in Christ or be united with Him in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, to begin new, a new life filled with those spiritual blessings, filled with the opportunities that His joy might be complete within you, to rise to say, my life is new again. We want to help you do that. If we can just surround you as a family, put our arms around you. You know, it's one of those things Elliot and I have talked about. How would we go about an invitation? Because some people are so uncomfortable with coming. You know, do we ask the elders maybe to stand at the corners of the back of the building and let people go to them so that so many people aren't staring at them? We've talked about so many different ways. How do we supply the needs of you as a congregation? And I want you to understand that if you're in need this morning, if you're suffering, if you're worried, if you're tired, you have brethren here who want to just simply surround you, put their arms around you and say, we are here as your family to love and give and support. How more incredible could the invitation of the Lord be than that? Won't you come as we stand and sing together?
The Fender of a King in gold and majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Now,
beginning and the end, beginning and the end.